You know, one of the best things that you can do as a believer is to go on a mission trip. So in about a month, a group here from Emmanuel is going down to Tijuana, and I'll be joining that again this year. A lot of you have been on different ones, maybe to Tijuana, maybe you've been to New Orleans, or maybe Houston, or maybe further to Haiti, or even overseas to India or something like that. But wherever you go, it's a great opportunity, of course, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, which automatically is going to transform lives. But you also get to experience different cultures, you meet new people, you have different experiences that will enrich your life. But there's one place that I would encourage you to go, if you can only go to one place. If you have one opportunity in your entire life, I would encourage you to go to Israel. Simply because of the geography. There in Israel, you will get to walk where Jesus walked, travel in his footsteps. You can wade in the exact river where Jesus was baptized. You can sit there on the hillside where he preached the greatest sermon that anyone has ever heard. So, as we look at our story today, we are looking at this storm on the Sea of Galilee. Imagine, you're a disciple. You are there with Jesus. You're there in the boat, and the storm comes up. Now, we have storms around here in the Midwest, thunderstorms, tornadoes. Maybe you've even experienced a hurricane. But usually there is some kind of a warning. You can look at the signs. You can look at the sky. But the Sea of Galilee is 628 feet below sea level, and there are mountains on all sides. And there are deep ravines there in the mountains, and the cold air, like a giant funnel, goes through those mountains and it hits the warm air of the Sea of Galilee. And almost immediately, you can have a storm. So here you are in the boat, and the sky begins to darken, and the wind comes up, and the waves rise, and the rain is pelting down, and literally, you are afraid for your life. Now, whether you've been in that kind of a physical storm or not, all of us have been in life storms, and they almost always come out of the middle of nowhere. For example, let's say you come home one evening, and you're looking forward to a nice dinner, relaxing time, you know, watching your favorite TV shows on Netflix. You're going to have a glass of wine. You're going to relax. After that, listen to some nice, calm music, and you notice the house is half empty, and there's a note on the dining room table. And it says the marriage is over. Now, there's a storm you didn't see coming. Or maybe you go to the doctor's office. It's your annual physical, no big deal. Company says you got to go. And the doctor says something's not quite right. It doesn't sound normal. It doesn't look normal. We're going to send a sample off to the lab. A week comes back and you discover that you have cancer. There's a storm that you didn't see coming. Or maybe, well, it's a Friday and you're at work, the place where you've been half your life. You plan on retiring there. You've given your blood, sweat, and tears to the company. And your boss says, I want to see you in my office for just a minute. And he gives you the pink slip. He says, there's no more room left in our organization. You've got an hour. Put everything in a box, give me your keys, you're out of here. There's a storm you didn't see coming. Or maybe it's 3 a.m. and the phone rings. And that's never good when the phone rings at 3 a.m. and it's your father. Your mother had a massive heart attack and she's gone. There are all kinds of storms of life that we don't see coming, and all of a sudden we're right there in the middle of them. And we need to ask, what are we going to do? Well, that's why this lesson is so important for us today. If you look there in your notes at the preamble, it says this: we are characters in every parable that Jesus taught and every miracle that Jesus performed. The boat is your life. You are the disciples. You are in the storm when it comes up. And so when that storm hits, I hope that, you know, you write good notes. I hope that you embed this in your mind, put it on your iPad, your smartphone. Remember these lessons. First of all, remember the promise of Jesus. Now, it begins very benignly. It says, on that day, when evening had come, so evening rolls around, Jesus said, let us go across to the other side. So, what does Jesus say? Hop in the boat. We're going to cross over. But this is a whole lot more than a statement, isn't it? This is a prophecy. Jesus says, I guarantee you, get in this boat, we are going to go to the other side. The whole Roman Navy could not sink that boat. The U.S. Navy today could not sink that boat. The disciples are not going to drown. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. You know, they're all human beings. Jesus, he's the Son of God, but he's also a man. He could certainly drown. But here's the thing. God is not yet finished with him. Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet. He hasn't bled for us. He hasn't died for us. He hasn't worked out our salvation yet. He hasn't risen from the grave. He absolutely cannot drown. And so it is exactly the same for all of you. Take a look at your life. When you're in the middle of a storm, there are really only two options in that storm. Number one, God is finished with you. You say, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. Maybe the people around you, some say hallelujah, some say not. But that's it. Or if God is not finished with you, guess what? You are going to go to the other side. God is going to see you through the storm, through the problem, through the trouble. So number one, Jesus never tells us to do something that he doesn't give us the power to do. You're going to get to the other side of the lake? Absolutely, it will happen. Number two, Jesus never makes a promise that he can't keep. We can trust in him that his promises are always true. So in our baptism, regardless of the amount of water, sprinkled, poured, dunked, God makes a promise. And it's sealed by the cross. He says, my Holy Spirit is going to be with you for the rest of your life. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you wherever you go. And I will see you through to the other side, not only of life's problems, but to the other side of life. And so that's the first thing. Nothing can ever happen to us until God is finished with us. Number two, rest in the presence of Jesus. Verse 36, and leaving the crowd, they took him, Jesus, with them, the disciples, in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. So what's the difference here between the disciples and the other boats? Need a little audience participation this morning. What's the difference? Jesus is in the one boat, right? There's lots of boats. Lots of people on the sea. Jesus is in one boat. So here's the thing. Jesus is in your boat. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus is in your boat. Can you do that? He's in your ship. He is in your life. So what makes you different from all the people that are out there? Not the ones who already were here in church this morning, not them. But the unbelievers. Jesus isn't in their life. He's not in their boat. He's not in their ship. But he is in yours. Wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you do, Jesus is right there. And so it doesn't make any difference. The next verse there, it says, a great windstorm arose. So what? And the waves were breaking into the boat. You say, so what? The boat was already filling. So what? Jesus is right there. Now, there's a very important question that we often miss as the people of God. It's this one. Why were the disciples in the middle of the storm? easy question. Why were they in the boat? He told them to. Remember, we're going to go over to the other side of the lake. Get in the boat. So often we think that we're in the middle of a storm, that when life's troubles come, it's because God is angry at us. He sent this storm, and He's going to punish us, and He's going to teach us a lesson. Because you snuck into mom's cookie jar when you were 8 years old, God is going to get you. And the lightning's going to come down. You're going to be a little grease spot on the floor. It's because of what I did 30 years ago when I was in high school or college or whenever. Jesus said to the disciples, get in the boat. Sometimes trouble in life, the storms in life, come about because we are in the will of God. Because we are being obedient and not disobedient. Reminds me of a great little story. There was an oil man in eastern Ohio. Had an oil well, and somehow the thing caught on fire. Big problem. Oil well, you have it caught on fire. No one could put it out. So he offers a reward of $100,000 to any fire company that could put out the fire. So here they come from large towns, small towns. And then there was one from this little town, about 3,000 people, right on the border between Pennsylvania and Ohio, Calcutta, Ohio. All they've got is one engine, one fire engine. So old, all it has is one ladder. Doesn't even have a fire hose, it's so old. They have two buckets of water, three buckets of sand, and a few blankets, and a crew of men, and that is it. And yet, here they come. The fire is so hot that everyone else is around on the perimeter. They can't get close enough to put out the fire. But here comes these guys from Calcutta, and they go barreling through the perimeter, right to the center of the fire, and the crew jumps out, and they pour out that water on the fire, and they pour that sand on the fire, and they literally beat the flame to death. And the oil man comes, and he says, wow, that was impressive. I've got a check right here for $100,000. What are you going to use? What are you going to use that money to buy? What kind of equipment are you going to get with $100,000? The captain, who is so afraid, he's shaking, he says, well, the very first thing we're going to do is we're going to get those stupid brakes fixed. Sometimes we're right in the middle of the fire, we're right in the middle of the storm, simply because that is where God puts us. When you're there, don't get the idea that if you live right and love God, that there will be no storm. Sometimes God places you there because you're absolutely doing the right thing and you're in the right place at the right time. Sometimes we do indeed get thrown into the storm for doing what is right. And then it says, he was in the storm, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? It's like asking your mom when you're sick, you don't care that I'm sick? Of course she cares. She's your mother. Of course he cares. He's their rabbi. He's their master. He's their creator. He's their redeemer. He's going to go to the cross and die for them. He does not want them to perish. But aren't we like that so often when we're out of control and we're in the middle of the storm and we don't see how it's going to end? God, don't you care? Where are you? Well, Jesus is asleep. And it's not because he's exhausted or there's so much anxiety. It's simply because he decided to go to sleep. He went to the stern of the boat, the most protected part, where there's a cushion, and he lays down and he goes to sleep. I'm imagining that he went to sleep even before the storm hit because he knew how it's all going to end. He knows he's in his Father's will. He knows he can calm the storm. He knows that God's business is not yet finished. And so he goes to sleep. It's amazing, isn't it, how how the God of the universe, the ruler of the wind and the waves, trusts the disciples to steer the boat more than they trust him to calm the storm. The point is, there's no need to fear when Jesus is near. So often as the people of God, our prayer is, God, take the storm away. Get me out of the storm. But where's the safest place? It's always where Jesus is. Safety or peace, it's not in the absence of the problem, but rather safety and peace is being in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus is right there with us in the middle of the storm. So rest in the presence of Jesus. And then finally, the best part of the whole story is the last part, the conclusion. The lesson there is to rely on the power of Jesus, not our own, not our own coping mechanisms, not how we're going to get out of it, but simply to rely on the power of Jesus. So Jesus awoke, he rebuked the wind, he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Remember at the very beginning of our story, Jesus said, we're going to cross over to the other side. If we continue to the very first verse of chapter 5, what does it say? They got to the other side. Jesus didn't promise there wouldn't be a storm, and he didn't promise that the storm wouldn't hit the boat. What he did promise is that they would get to the other side. And so for you and me, Jesus doesn't promise smooth sailing through life, just a safe landing. Whether it's the problem, the trouble, the storm, or the fire, Jesus will get us through. And he will get us through this life to the next, safely as well. And then finally, the question that we always need to ask, have you still no faith? Last week we talked about having a puny faith. This week Jesus says, have you still not learned your lesson? I've cast out demons. I've healed entire cities of disease. Now I have saved you from danger. Have you still no faith? When life storms come, and they will, we have a choice. Are we going to face it with fear, or are we going to face the storm with faith? And really, it always boils down to this. Fear looks at the storm. Fear looks at the circumstances. Fear looks at what I'm going to try and do and what I cannot do. Faith always looks at the Savior. Faith looks at Jesus. Faith looks at what God has done. Faith remembers God's promise and rests in the presence of God and relies on His power. I said before, as Christians, so often our prayer is, Lord, remove the storm. Get me out of the trouble. Do you realize that oftentimes God allows the storm? Because he wants to remember. He wants us to remember that his promises are always true. He's always with us. He won't forsake us. That we might rest in his presence, not to be anxious or worried, and to rely on his power. We can indeed trust the Lord to get us through safely to the other side. May God grant that to you the next time the storm comes.
As we just heard in our message, we know that the source of our anxiety and worry, it stems from fear. But God says, fear not. He wants us to believe and trust in him always, to put our whole heart in him, not just a part, because greater is he who lives in us than he who lives in the world. Glory be to God.